Hello and welcome to GuardCast, a podcast that offers insight to soldiers and civilians from subject matter experts across the board. I'm your host, Sergeant Joseph Goldsmith, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us, everyone. This is Sergeant Joseph Goldsmith, and I've got Captain Markey here. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the organizational structure of the South Carolina State Guard. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about this gentleman. So Captain Markey enlisted in the South Carolina State Guard as a signal NCO, so an S6, on November 3rd, 2013, as a sergeant in what was then the 4th Battalion prior to the reorganization of the battalions. Beginning with Hurricane Joaquin, Sergeant Markey has deployed on every major operation while serving. He earned his bachelor's degree in emergency disaster management, magna cum laude, from American Military University, as well as a double master's in emergency and disaster management and homeland security and defense. During his education, he was offered a warrant officer's commission and was transferred to the personnel officer's position, that's an S1, within the 3rd Battalion, where he served 5.5 years and was then given full commission to first lieutenant. In June of 2019, Lieutenant Markey was offered command of Alpha Company, 3rd Battalion, and is the post in which he currently serves. Recently, Lieutenant Markey has been promoted to the rank of Captain. Captain Markey also serves as the Director of Operations for the South Carolina State Guard Honor Guard, which he was instrumental in standing up in 2015 to provide final military honors to all 6 branches of the U.S. Armed Forces. So, Captain Markey, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you in studio.
Yeah. So organizational structure of specifically the South Carolina State Guard, but state guards and state defense forces in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're in, you know what we're talking about, whether you're state defense force, state guard, national guard, you get it. But for those of us that might be actively in the process of being recruited, mm-hmm. or you're a civilian and you're trying to just learn more about who we are and what we do, can you tell us, just kind of to start, like, what are the major components of state guards and state defense forces?
Okay. That's a really good question, because people want to know what they're getting into and where they may be serving. And typically most state defense forces are set up in a very similar way to the United States Army or the federal side of it versus the National Guard side of it. But in South Carolina, we are what's known as a major subordinate command of the South Carolina Army National Guard. So with that, what that means is that we have legal authority as a state defense force, and we actually answer to the TAG, which is the Adjutant General, the Commander of the National Guard for South Carolina, and the Governor of the State of South Carolina. So what that means is that's basically the chain of command, because chain of command is very important in the mm-hmm. military. So we have a very regimented chain of command, and our state defense forces are set up as a single division, which is based in Columbia. And that's where you'll go to FMRC, and some of those things that you do administratively are at division headquarters. And below that, you have the first civil support brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you have the brigade level folks, and they manage the 3 battalions that currently exist in the state guard. So you have division, then you have brigade, and then you have the battalions. Within each battalion, you have 4 companies, companies Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and Delta. And then you have 3 battalions with 4 companies, and in each company, you have 4 platoons. And the platoons are where the soldiers are assigned based on what they're dealing with in terms of their jobs or their mission capabilities. So that is the basic overlay of how it's set up. And then in addition to that, we have what's known as the Professional Services Command, which is attached to division headquarters. Mm-hmm. And they're what they call TDY, which is a temporary duty assignment to different units across the state, whether it be at battalion or brigade or at the company level. So the Professional Services Command mm-hmm. include your JAG Corps, which is Judge Advocate General. So those are all the attorneys that we have in the State Guard. We have a Medical Corps, which deals with all the medics and docs that we have. Then we have the ADAR teams, which are the first first on boots on the ground during a disaster. They do all the damage assessments and the spin up for our deployments to either do pod missions, lane reversal missions, whatever the mission may be. That's what the ADAR teams do. And then the Honor Guard is also part of the what they call the PSC, the Professional Services Command. So you have the Honor Guard, you have we have a dive team, we have an equestrian team. So there are several like specialty units, I guess you could say, and they fall under Division Headquarters Command in terms of chain of command, but they're basically to the side, and we interact with them directly, but they have their own command structure that basically supports the missions of all the battalions across the South, across the state of South Carolina.
Right. So I'm a new recruit and I'm trying to figure all this out. So I can expect that no matter where I am in the state, that I will end up, once I come out of IET at FMRC, that I will be assigned, my orders will send me to the 1st Civil Support Brigade.
Okay.
Or the first, 1SC, and then I will be put into a company. And no matter which battalion I go to, I will be in either A, B, C, or D.
Right.
So every battalion has the same lettering. It's Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, and Delta.
Correct.
Okay. So no matter what battalion you're in, you will be assigned it. It's not like A through D is in 1st Battalion and then the next four and the next four. It's all the same there.
Right.
And then you had mentioned about the concept of TDY.
Right.
Okay. So an example for me is I'm actually TDY'd. Right. So I live in Myrtle Beach. However, I technically am on battalion's command staff, which is in Charleston.
Correct.
I live here. So I am TDY'd to his company, to Alpha Company.
That's correct.
Because I live here. So I report to Alpha Company under Captain Markey's command. However, if I am needed down in Charleston, okay, at Bravo Company, or if HHC needs me, okay, or if something's going on and I can go somewhere, that's fine. And then I just report to whoever I need to report for that event. But so if you have a specialty and you are needed somewhere else in the state, that doesn't mean that we're going to move you from where you live to that location. You're still going to be where you are and you're going to be TDY'd to that. Okay. You could have some special like cybersecurity type
That's a good example.
Background, and they really need you up in Columbia, but you live in Beaufort, down by Charlie Company. Well, you're going to be TDY'd to Charlie Company, but you will be reporting, more often than you might want to Columbia. Now that could just be a telecall. Like you might just log on and go there, or you might have to drive there. It just kind of depends on the mission or the FTX or TTX or whatever it is that we have going on.
There you go with the acronyms.
Field training exercise.
That's the FTX.
FTX
is our tabletop training exercises. So, and I'm sure you've covered this in other podcasts, but
I don't think we need
a glossary.
For all
the acronyms.
We do
a lot.
So how? And I know we kind of touched on a little bit. So like, how do each of the components, support each other?
Okay, that's actually a very good question, and especially when it comes to our PSC, the Professional Services Command. It depends largely on what the missions are how do we figure out what those are. There's something called a METL, a Mission Essential Task List, METL, and the South Carolina State Guard gets their METL guidance from the higher headquarters, in which in this case is the National Guard. So the TAG's office, the Adjutant General, they say, hey, State Guard, we need help with the following types of missions that we see from an emergency management and supporting local authorities. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, maybe in a different episode, because it's kind of drawn out. But what this means is that if you're a new recruit and you're an NCO or a new officer, you'll have to go through the training through FMRC and IET and the different things that you'll need to do to be trained, because the State Guard's mission is to be trained and ready. So you'll see a hashtag if you're on social media where it says hashtags trained and ready, and that's South Carolina State Guard's motto. So what this means for you as a new recruit is essentially, if you have a specialty, if you're an IT guy, they may put you in the cyber command and TDYU to Alpha Company. If you live in the Myrtle Beach area or in the upstate, you may be assigned to 2nd Battalion. So what Sergeant Goldsmith was saying is that it's very important for everybody to understand that, you know, if you are a specialist, you have some type of special skill, what's going to happen is you'll be assigned, like if you live in, you know, Charleston, you'll probably be assigned, depending on where you live in Charleston, you'll be assigned to Bravo Company or Charlie Company. If you live in the Florence area, you'd be assigned to Delta. If you live at the beach here or here on the coast, you know, Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, Myrtle's Inlet, Conway, you know, in the areas around here, you'd be assigned to Alpha Company.
What about Georgetown?
Georgetown is actually where Bravo Company is based. So basically from Georgetown County. Yeah. Everything from Georgetown County to Mount Pleasant, Charleston is Bravo Company, what they call AO. And AO is an area of operations. So that is our area of responsibility in terms of who we recruit. The local authorities that we support directly are based on geographic locations. And 3rd Battalion is the largest battalion geographically in the state, followed by 2nd and then 1st Battalion in the Midlands. So you have the Lowcountry, Midlands, and Highlands battalions rather. So, and that's, and so what this means then, getting back to it, is once you're assigned based on where you live, because again, we don't want necessarily have people traveling unnecessarily to drill, unless it's either a specialized training or a special job that you have within the state guard.
And you'll find that from time to time, you know, companies will get together, maybe not all four, but maybe two of them will get together, you know, on the northern end, and you know, Charlie and Bravo will get together on the southern end and run a training exercise, you know, just for the sake of getting people, you know, getting people together. Or if we're gearing up for a mission, the whole battalion will come together, usually centralized in Mount Pleasant. At the armory.
And that's typical because Alpha and Delta, for instance, we live on basically the northern part of the battalion, and Charlie and Bravo live towards the center and lower end of the battalion's AO. So they tend to drill together, our sister company, the Delta Company. So we tend to drill with them, and we'll go out to Florence and we'll have them come in. We'll swap from month to month and, you know, develop our training plan, because our training plan to develop a year in advance, so we kind of know what's happening and when, and then we decide if is it better with the armory we have at the beach, is it a better location to do that type of training. Delta Company drilled at Florence County Airport. Is it better for us to do an FTX or a TTX at the airport with those resources? And we base our drill locations on that, so people don't have to travel for every drill that they go to. So we're trying to make it fair and equitable for everybody.
So we're having a drill. Let's say it's an FTX. And regardless of what the subject matter is that we're discussing and working on for that drill, we need assistance from professional services.
Right.
So how would that look? who sets that up? Does command from Columbia come down? Does division come down and say, hey, this is what we need you to work on? Or is that something that the company commanders and AJC at the battalion level set up?
That's another great question, because how that works is it's based on the mission essential task list. We get our guidance from higher headquarters. So in my case, as company commander, my higher headquarters is going to be the battalion level. And then battalion gets their marching orders from brigade. Brigade gets their marching orders from division. So like we talked about in the beginning of the episode, that's the structure. And we have a chain of command that we follow. So how do we figure out what we're doing in the months to come, the first quarter, second quarter, throughout the year? Is they'll say, hey, you know, we've gotten guidance, because division gets their guidance from the National Guard, you know, and their chain of command. So what happens is that they're saying, okay, we have the following thing that we need you guys to either get trained on or to start practicing for, because we're expecting A, B, and C types of missions to come from the governor's office, which is, I mean, and essentially that what that does is it gives us the general overview of what they want. And it's what's known as, and you'll hear this, especially in Francis Marion, probably you'll hear what's called commander's intent. So essentially this is what they say, you know, we need to move 30 pallets of MREs. So I, and what it is, it's not a micromanaged thing. It's the commander's intent. Boss wants us to get, you know, this widget from point A to point B. I need Alpha and Delta to handle it because it's in this AO, right? I can use the acronym to explain it, right?
Yeah, once you explain it,
it's a little bit faster. So if we need to move widget from point A to point B in Alpha and Delta's AO, that's what I need to do, and I need it done by a certain day, a certain time, then what happens is the commander's intent, that's the long and short of it. Now it's up to me as a company commander to get with my command staff, my XO, my first sergeant, and say, hey guys, this is the deal. And I'll call Delta's guy that will do a joint call, like a Zoom call or a Teams call, and figure out, okay, this is what the boss needs. What do we got? What do we have to do this with? And then we go through it. We develop our strategy. We push that up to the chain of command, through our chain of command, to get approval. If we need to move or we need specialized equipment to do it, then we can ask through the logistics shop, the S4 in this case, at battalion, which will go to the G4 in Columbia at division. But the four shops are where the logistics are. And if we have a logistics issue and we don't have the equipment necessary to do the job based on what the commander's intent is, then we go through our chain of command to requisition either specialized people from PSC to help us do something specific, or through the personnel office if we need more people from other places, from other companies or sister companies in the battalion. And essentially that's what it is. It's our job to get the missions accomplished. And we sit down, we're trained to kind of evaluate what we're doing. And then that's it. So whatever the mission may be, and it's based on, again, what our medal is, so we are aware of what we should be training on. And then we develop our plans ahead, way ahead of time. And it's not always perfect, but it's how the military works. I mean, we operate in very much a military manner. So we can't just go, oh, okay, we need this. We're just going to pick this up and go. We don't move without permission.
Right. So talking about, similarities like the Army, for example, sure. Let's talk on that. Let's talk on that point a little bit. So what are the similarities and differences between, State Guard, State Defense Forces, the National Guard, and the Army?
Okay. That's an excellent question, because a lot of people, they say, well, are you guys actually in the Army? Well, legally, no, we are not, because here's how the military structure works. And I'll say Big A, not as a derogatory term, but when I say Big A, I'm talking about the federal services. So, and that's the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Space Force now. Those are federal forces, and that's what's known as a Title 10 versus a Title 32. And
that'll be another episode.
We'll get into weeds with
There's
that.
Title 10 and Title 32. And some are one, some are the other, and some are both. But that'll be another episode.
But specifically how the Army, and we're just gonna talk about the Army now, I'm not gonna get into the Navy, Marine Corps, and the others, but just to make it so it's a little bit easier to understand, the Army is set up to do X, Y, and Z, okay? And their structure is identical in terms of having divisions, brigades, battalions, companies, platoons. Those types of things are set up in an identical manner. They have corps and things because they're a much larger force, but we're not that large inside of a state. So, but when you hear somebody say, I'm with 3rd Battalion, and you hear a National Guard soldier say that, or you hear an Army soldier or officer say that, they mean the same thing. We're talking about the same organizational component for the Big A, the National Guard, and then the State Defense Forces. They're identical. They're not interchangeable. You can't say that battalion is above brigade in the State Guard when it's not true in the Army or not true in the National Guard. It's division, brigade, battalion, company, and then the platoons within the company is identical across all three.
Right. And obviously the biggest difference, and if you're watching this, you probably already know this, with National Guard, and we kind of hinted at it a minute ago with Title 10 and 32, Army and National Guard, they are armed. Right. We only have one component of State Defense Forces and State Guards that are arms. that are armed, you know, and it's provost marshal division. So as kind of like a military police, like an MP.
Right.
Taking aside the wartime, you know, the war fighter component, organizationally, it is very similar.
It's identical.
Yeah. You know, you'll hear some people in state guards and state defense forces utilize certain types of terminology to describe what their MOS is.
Mm-hmm.
I have found it to not be as prevalent with us.
Right.
However, I do have an ear, and apparently that is being discussed.
Right. And that is okay. So I gave you some similarity.
Yeah.
The differences are when we talk about MOSs, and that's mm-hmm. the method of service, right? So that's essentially your job. Like I'm an infantry, and the state guard is set up as an infantry.
Yes.
So it's an 11 Bravo. If you're enlisted, 11 Alpha, I'm an infantry officer. So if you see me in my dress blues, you'll see the baby blue on my rank strap. And the baby blue is the colors on the rank strap indicate different MOSs. So you'll see orange, red, purple. You'll see all kinds of different colors. And what does that mean? Well, that's mm-hmm. definitely a story for another time.
Yeah.
Because you really get into weeds. But essentially, everybody in the state guard is an infantryman or an infantry officer, unless you are in one of the specialties like communications, or you're in the provost marshal,
right,
or medical or engineers. We also have an engineer corps too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have several different units within the PSC that have all of these different MOSs. But for the most part, the rank and file, the company level people, the battalion level folks, are going to be predominantly infantry. So right. We're organized as an infantry unit, you know, at all the levels that we have, with the specialties kind of muddying the waters with their own MOSs. But we don't necessarily have, like, I don't have a motor pool person, which is an 88 yeah. mic for everybody that's in the Army. We don't have those types of MOSs. But what Sergeant Goldsmith is indicating, that they're trying to get to that, because we're starting to get a little bit more subdivided and more specialized to right. beat our metal requirements.
Right, exactly. Well, not only that, but communication across the branches. You know, if there's a major disaster and we're on if we're on deployment with, you know, the National Guard or the Army, or, you know,
the Army, but we'll talk about why. It'll be the National Guard.
Because Army, you know, inland,
we'll talk about
stateside. Yeah. But if we're on deployment with the National Guard and we hear their chain of command, you know, speaking, we need to be able to make sure that our soldiers understand the, you know, the acronyms that are being used.
Right.
You know, so I'm hoping that everything is implemented.
We can do a whole episode just on all the acronyms.
Yeah, we can. There's so many of them. And it's a learning curve, y'all. You know,
for sure.
It's just, we'll level with you. I mean, you can spend years and you're still going to learn it. But when you're not immersed in it every single day, 24/7, you know, like you are if you are in the Marine Corps or the Army or the Navy.
Foreign Service folks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've got it. You know, but if you are not prior service and you're coming into the State Defense Force or a State Guard, you know, you do have a learning curve ahead of you, but fortunately, most of the people that are in are like Cap Margie, that they have they're a wealth of knowledge, you know, and they just want to give it, you know, freely. You know, hence why he's sitting here, you know, and there's so many other people that want to come on the show and give their knowledge, you know, to help individuals that are not prior service that really need every piece of information that they can get, just to help them acclimate faster. Because again, we're not immersed in it 24/7, 7 days a week.
Right.
That was redundant. you know, but yeah, so I hope that was helpful. You know, again, similarities and differences between us, between the Title 10s, Title 32s, which we'll get to that. Right. You know,
a teaser for you.
Exactly. You know, how all the different components of State Defense Forces, State Guards interact with each other, how they're broken down. If you have any questions, okay, if you're confused about anything that was said, leave a comment below. All right. I'm obviously I will see it. And if I can't answer them, I'll fire them over to him and I'll get an answer for you.
Happy to clarify any questions that you may have, or if anything that we didn't cover that you're interested in learning about, or
because you
kind of heard us talk about the PSC. There are a lot, like I mentioned, the engineer as a tail, but not together when I was talking about the PSC. But there's, you know, like I said, we have engineers, we have the chaplain corps, we have the medics. I didn't mention the chaplain, but we have so many different opportunities for people that are on the civilian side that can plug their skills in and volunteer their time to help support the folks here in South Carolina, because this is a great place to live. And I've been here almost 30 years from New York, and I can tell you that I can't imagine being anywhere else but in South Carolina. And I'm proud to serve with folks here in South Carolina State Guard.
I agree with that statement. I agree with that statement too, very much so. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So I'm definitely going to have you back.
Yeah.
And
love to do it.
And because we got to talk about Title 10 and 32.
Yeah, because we already teased it.
So. At least, yeah, we definitely got to talk about that. Well, thank you again. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in the next episode. This is Sergeant Joseph Goldsmith, out.